Hello and welcome to This Week in Quality, episode 114. That's right, episode 114. I am your co-host Ben Doan, also known as the Full Snack Tester. Today is a Ministry of Testing event, and as such, the Code of Conduct, as always, is in place. And if you do join us on stage a little bit later on, please be mindful of that. I am joined here today by the fantastic Simon Tomes. And today we're going to be having a little bit of a chat with a mobile testing kind of theme. But before we jump into the meat of it, Simon, do we have any news from the Motiverse to share with our wonderful listeners today?
Hey Ben, thanks for introducing us. Yeah, welcome folks. Looking forward to it. Yeah, news. There's always stuff going on the Motiverse. I always point folks actually to the homepage, and it seems quite an obvious thing to remind people of, but I certainly chat to some folks who aren't familiar with going to ministryoftesting.com. In particular, I was at the MOT London meetup last night, and folks were like, "Oh, where can I find out more?" And I'm like, just go straight to ministryoftesting.com. And that is your starting point to discover what's been happening. So, yeah, loads of good things. Earlier this week, we hosted a lean coffee session on leading, which was wonderful. And I'm gutted I had to jump out halfway through as my daughter was performing in a school show. So I did miss out, but the first half that I was able to join was brill, and I followed up on the board the topics that were covered. So yeah, I know Ben, you participated in that heavily, so maybe it'd be good to get your kind of a brief summary of how you found it and what were some of the key takeaways.
Yeah, no, it was very cool, and it was great for a number of reasons. One was just the people in the room, the qu leaders in quality who were in the room were really fantastic, and everyone was very respectful of the format and giving each other time and space, which is always very cool. And as you might expect from leaders in quality, they were all very skilled at sharing their point of view without kind of dominating the conversation. So that in itself was a massive pleasure. And yeah, there were some really cool topics. I'm just gonna quickly have a look at my notes, because I forget things almost immediately. I did have a little bit of a writing it down on LinkedIn. Let me just see if I can find my own post.
It's all good, Ben. As you're finding that, one thing I should mention is when we have these lean coffee sessions, the wonderful thing is we can take the discussion, and Rosie in particular, as for those following along live in the chat, will pull out key highlights and we will publish that on ministrytesting.com. So it keeps the conversation going. It helps people who weren't able to attend to discover what happened, and then it should spark more insight and more conversation amongst the community. And that's where it gets really exciting. So, yeah, absolutely incredible people joined the event, and we should celebrate that as well as more stuff comes off the back of it.
Very cool. Yeah, no, I just see Rosie is saying that she just published one piece of the key takeaways. So again, check that homepage. And Tan says, surely there's a snack takeaway joke to be had in here somewhere.
Oh,
Yes.
boom. Yeah.
Boom. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, one of the things for me was, so one of the topics was about, in fact, actually, it was two topics, but they really went together very well. And it was about growing the next generation of quality engineers and quality leaders, which, while they were dealt with as two topics, they were beautifully overlapping. And one of the things I was bringing to that conversation was trying to understand a little bit about where those quality engineers and quality leaders might come from in the current market, with the context that in the current market, there's less graduate and junior level jobs available, and that's tough. So where are we going to grow that kind of next level? Because really, quality engineers, the role, or at least one of the ways to describe the role, you really need quite a lot of experience in other things before you step into a quality engineering role. And it was great because there was such a wealth of different contributions to it. And some of it was all about bringing people in and doing the training and growing them. Like, it was very directly this is how I recruit in order to get the right people, and this is how I train them up or how I offer them support. I thought that was beautiful. And there was also some great ideas in terms of the different places you could potentially find people from and bring them in, including things like, well, look at your support organization, look at your developers, look at your various people who have domain knowledge that might be able to step up if they also have that technical background into the quality engineering. So that was pretty cool.
That's ace. What I love about it is, as you say, like that diversity of thinking and experience and it happening in a very short space of time, people sharing that advice with each other and reflecting on the questions that we're asking each other. And the cool thing about the posts that go out, so just checking it now. So Katya Mayer has contributed, yourself, Ben, has contributed, Rosie's contributed, Gary Hawkes, Richard Adams, and Dalbir Sehembi, sorry, Dalbir, for mispronouncing your surname. The wonderful thing about that is those people also receive stars for contributing to that article. So not only do they get stars for turning up to the event and participating, they get stars for contributing. And coming very soon, this isn't live yet, so I'm breaking all the rules by announcing it, but what the heck. We are soon introducing a thank you button on every piece of content on the Motiverse. So you press the button, it awards the person who contributed a star to say thank you. And it also gives the person who gave the star a star to just because you're supporting people, right? So we want to celebrate and make it much easier for people to say thank you. And of course, you can leave comments on content as well, which we very much encourage, and manually actually reach out to people and have conversations and chat with them, which folks could do on the Motiverse Slack, for example, or on events like today. But the idea really is to help people build up their profile with stars. It's a great way to show that people are contributing and people are grateful for what others are up to. So we're very excited to get that live. I'm saying hopefully by next week, but we shall see. Oh. And we got some nice stuff going on in the chat. Gary Hawk sharing a star eyed emoji. Daniel Newells, 5 stars, thank you emoji. And Demi Van Melcott, legendary co-host of This Week in Quality, so many stars. Yeah, you got it.
That's so cool. No, it really makes me think as well, Simon, with all these cool new ways to generate stars and the signals that gives, that maybe we need, and I'm just throwing it out there, you don't have to take this on, some different levels of abstraction, because it almost feels like we maybe need some things that are maybe like the just liking something that's almost like stardust that kind of contribute towards a star. But then also we maybe you need something bigger, like a galaxy or something, where for collecting so many stars within a certain category, you could get some kind of mega star or galaxy or something like they can add up together. So it makes me feel there's maybe legs in this analogy in terms of different signals.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's certainly a challenge, right? I think when any system has, let's just say, a points element to it, so every star is equal right now, and that's just how the algorithm works. But there's certainly opportunities. It could be like a table view that shows, it makes it easier to see how you could get more stars by like seeing what other people are up to. There's so much stuff we could do with a community algorithm, but it's exciting, right? Because I feel, speaking openly and honestly, it is different from other social platforms that are out there. We're not like upweighting certain members or certain things people say. It's just straight up, people get a star and that's that, and it has the same worth and value, unlike other social media platforms out there which may have, let's just say, a closed box when it comes to the algorithm. It's my polite way of saying it.
Oh, and I think keeping it open is great. And I think keeping stars at the same level actually has plenty of merit. I was just thinking maybe even without having to change things much, and maybe you already have this, Simon, but maybe a certain number of stars in a certain category could trigger badges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That might be a way to do it without actually changing much at all.
Definitely. Because we have all sorts of tagging as well. Like you can, when someone, say, adds a satellite entry to the observatory, which is essentially a bookmark, they can tag it. They can tag it quality engineering or AI security or whatever, right? There's all sorts of tags. So I think, the opportunity to, it's a bit abstract, but there is an argument to say that if more people are getting tagged on a particular topic, then they might be an authority. They may become an expert, and I'm not afraid to use that word, an expert on a particular set of topics, and it can tie in with people's interests that they share on their profile page as well. So we can connect all that stuff up. So yeah, there's so much more we can do and just make it inclusive. It's just about revealing that data to people and pointing people in the right direction based on those tags and stars.
Well, I approve of the positive feedback. However it ends up manifesting, it's very important.
Lovely Simon, stuff. It's mobile time.
Why don't we move on? Yeah, let's get on with, shall we discuss mobile, and let's see if we can get some people on stage.
Yeah, let's do it. So I'm going to just move the slide across, which gives people tips on how to join. So here's how I think it could work for the next 20 or so minutes. So I put out a club post earlier this week. I think it was on the Monday. And let's just share that link in the chat for those following along live. And it's quite a generic club post. So it goes against my principle of just ask one question. I asked a whole load of questions, but that's okay, because I thought if we get a top level, high level set of questions, we can create more club topic posts. We can create memories. We can create conversations in Multiverse Slack and in other places as well. But the question was this, it's like, what's happening in your mobile testing world right now? You know, what mobile testing related objectives do you and your colleagues have? What challenges are you facing? What tooling are you using? How is it helping and hindering? What latest innovations, models, techniques are supporting your mobile testing efforts? What are some things you'd like to try yet haven't been able to, and what's stopping you? And what learning material are you using to support you? I appreciate that's a heck of a lot of questions, but I wonder, on that thread, there's some good stuff coming in. So Ben, how about we take turns reading some of that stuff out? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm looking at this for the first time, and I'm just thinking, my goodness, don't the community deliver? Look, I know it was a big question, but the detail people have put into this is phenomenal. So just big props to everyone, even before we start, to contributing to this post and generally how much effort people put into the club. I know the activity isn't rapid, but when people say things, my goodness, does it add value.
Yeah, and I guess it links back to that lean coffee earlier on in the week. Like, people say stuff and my goodness, it adds value. It's like, that really is what it's about, right? So I guess, let's take Bjorn van den Neut shares that testing against the most visited top 6 browser devices combinations from our site. Oh, okay, so as far as approach, but they are not specific working on a mobile test strategy at the moment. They mention about browser stack is a tooling, so it's slow. Not all browser device combinations you can make, so they do this manually, and that takes time also. Yeah, indeed. Bjorn continues to say, we use a browser extension to quickly scan on different viewports. Okay, nice. If we can already spot some issues. Oh, okay, so that's like a quick check. We also have some automated tests in Playwright. Good stuff. Test automation with browser stack, it costs time and money to set up, and have not yet a good feeling about the reliability of that step and what it will bring us. Bjorn, to keep up to date, just keeps an eye out on webs, courses, and meetups. Brilliant. It's good stuff in there, right?
Nice. And I'm just going to reflect, if you don't mind, a moment on this post before we move on to the next one. One thing I'm picking up reading between the lines on this post is that this is primarily, and I could be wrong, but it sounds like it's primarily web testing on a mobile device. And it's really interesting because one thing I've found from most contexts of web testing is that, at least the web stuff I've been testing in the last few years, there's a very low percentage of desktop and laptop and other devices visiting the website. Web traffic is almost all mobile traffic now, and the successful teams I've worked with have focused on that viewport testing, the mobile views, the different mobile browsers. And the teams that I've seen struggle and be confused why things break are the ones that just test on their browser on their machine, and they're not focusing on actually using mobile devices and the browsers on mobile devices to do their testing. And I think that's just a nice meta thing to notice there.
Very much so. Very much so. Yeah. Cheers for calling that out. I see, Ben, that we have Dan Casely has joined us off stage. So how about we get Dan up and then we can bring Dan into the conversation and then we can refer back to the club post as well. But I'd love to get Dan's take on things. So Dan, if you can hear me, I'm going to press the add to stage button. So feel free to unmute yourself and jump on in as soon as you join.
Howdy.
Howdy. Welcome, Dan. It's good to see you.
Thanks very much. I've made a move recently. After 20 years in various testing roles, I have become a shill for Maestro. I chat to a whole bunch of folks at Moticon, and after doing Maestro testing in a few different roles, I joined the Slack community and went, oh, hey, I can answer that question. And then eventually they offered me money to do it. And so obviously, like, this is a relevant topic, tying back to what we were chatting about before we got into the mobile stuff, the leading with quality stuff. Like, I get to see that a hell of a lot, where there are people who are leading by going, we've got a problem, I've found a tool that can help with the problem, I'm going to validate the tool, I'm then going to, and the thing that you see all the time is leading with quality, it is a communication skill. I'm going to go back into my business and say, hey, we should invest time and energy and effort and emotion into this thing. And like, this will help us solve a thing, not initially, but within some months we will have, like with all kind of tool onboardings and things like that. And that leading with quality to say, like, don't do it like we did it yesterday, do it like this tomorrow. Like, that's a skill. That's a skill, being able to sell to your coworkers and things like that.
Yeah, I love it, Dan. It reminds me, actually, that we did I can't remember when it was, maybe a couple of years ago. I think it was the 30 Days of Tools challenge on the club. There was one specific post, and I'm not going to spend the time looking it up, but from memory, it was like, how do you, something around like influence, or how do you convince people to, or your colleagues or your leaders to implement a new tool. And it was quite an open question, but I remember the thread, it was just massive, like loads of really good advice. I wonder if we went back to it now and tried to summarize it, given that we have tooling to help us do summaries and stuff like that, there could be some useful insights just to bring back into the conversation and to see what is different now because of the world of AI and its influence on everything. So yeah, that's I'm saying this out loud to remind myself to go and do that at some point. Because I think, to your point, Dan, it really is a skill. Like, how do we influence? That is leading with quality. And it, funnily enough, I'm in the process of reviewing module 2 of the Software Quality Engineering Certificate. And it's coming up all the time about influence. Like, how can you influence? It even came up in last week's This Week in Quality. We were talking about the power of influence and the different layers and complexities of that. So yeah, it's cool that you're bringing that up, Dan. It'd be good to... Yeah, here's some more. But Ben, do you have any comments as well at this point?
Always, Simon. Always some comments from me. We too well. Yeah, thanks for joining us, Dan. It's a really good point. And I think, influence is such an important thing. And I think also, it's one of those things that can be challenging to assess at interview. And it can be one of those things that can be difficult for people who are getting into quality engineering and doing quality engineering roles to really sell to their employer that this is a skill that they have and explain how it becomes successful. So yeah, I think talking more about how you can lead with quality and how the influencing element comes into that is going to be really important as more leaders in quality grow. It's a good one.
So in two previous roles, so before working here, I was the head of testing or senior test, whatever. And I introduced Maestro in both of those places, and not just Maestro, the open source bit. Like, we started there and then we moved on to the paid bit. And I would genuinely say that I think the biggest thing for me where I was influencing people was being high energy about it. I feel like one of the things I think that probably a lot of people who turn up to This Week in Quality share is testing isn't a thing that I do Monday to Friday. It's part of my identity. like I am a tester. It's not just a job that I do. And so then, like, when I found a cool tool and that tool does a cool thing and it solves this problem that I had, and I can talk with energy about that, you can take other people along that journey who want to be as excited as you are about that thing. It's probably, yeah, the thing that lives really high on my list in terms of influencing people to do the thing that I want to do, that I'm excited about.
Yeah, I can think of some other folks in the community who have gone down a similar route, like Danny Dainton, who's now part of Postman, who would write and talk about his experiences using Postman before he joined Postman as an employee. And he was so passionate about it. And it's like, oh yeah, Danny's doing some cool stuff. Let's see what he's up to. And he was so passionate about it. I can imagine him influencing his colleagues and the leadership team with like, oh, we've really got to invest in this because it's really helping us out. I guess the same with Butch Mayhew and Playwright. He talks and writes about Playwright all the time and is like so infused by what they're up to. Yeah, and there's definitely more folks out there as well, like Marie Cruz as well. So yeah, wonderful people who have that passion for a certain area of tooling and specific tools that can influence others as well beyond just within their own organization.
And some great add-ons in the chat. So Amy Stokes is saying, I advocate for accessibility testing, and in some ways mobile accessibility testing is more important as it's such a common device. Absolutely, AD, not just a common device, but a common device for people with accessibility needs that they need to work. Top tip, learn the shortcut first, then watch my Getting Started with Mobile Accessibility Testing talk from the online 2020 Test Bash. Love it. Learn the shortcut first. I think you might need to elaborate a bit on that one, AD, but I love it. And then Rosie says, a testing to DevRel discussion could be interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. I think also generally how people move from testing roles into other roles is really interesting, because I think quality engineering and testing has long been a role where you have to be quite multidisciplinary and skilled. So there's loads of people who've worked in testing who move on to other roles.
I think what I like about that is the opportunity to bring more people into the Motiverse. You know, some hardcore developers and real awesome designers, real awesome product people. Just, we want to hear from them, right? We want to hear their challenges and how, if we think of quality as care, like the center of it all, right? How all of our different roles and disciplines can join up, like what we're always aiming for when it comes to collaboration within a team. So yeah, DevRel would be a very good one to do, that's for sure.
Simon, shall we bring it back to mobile and see if we can get Dan more involved in the conversation as well?
Let's do it. So Dan, I'd love to get your take on like maybe what you've observed that's been happening over the last couple of years in the world of mobile app testing, like kind of some of the key observations where things are going perhaps, and the conversations that we should maybe start having that we're not having, so we can start doing more things within the Motiverse around mobile.
Sure. I think one of the things that's changing is mobile always lagged behind cloud offerings and things like that. So like years ago, I'd be using Source Labs and other providers for all of my cross-browser things, but I'd have my like cupboard of all the phones. And so when I was doing mobile app testing, you'd be like, oh, I've got this old Nexus something that I can change Android versions on, and I've got three different iPhones and I can, and that's how you did mobile testing. And I think the desire to move more of that into the cloud now is real. Like, even though the mobile has typically been behind because you can't do quite the same, and that's like, that's one of the key things that's changing. One of the conversations that I think a lot of folks are now having is about the massive variation you can have and like what your risk appetite is, right? So when you talk about cross-browser stuff, you're going to go like, okay, well, what are our big browsers? Well, when I look at my web stats, I can see Chrome on desktop, Safari on mobile, and that makes up 80-90%. And then I'll also cover Chrome on mobile and like if I'm feeling generous, some Firefox, right? And then, but when you look at mobile and you go like, I've got multiple iOS versions, multiple Android versions, multiple screen sizes, and that goes on and on, right? And you can start going like, well, what about Firefox on Android? And what about, and that variation, people are starting to go in like, well, clearly I cannot offset all of the risk. I can't test all of the things on all of the things. And then people are starting to take that step back and going like, yeah, but what do I really think is a risk? React Native renders some text. Like, that's going to work. And so now I can start carving my test suites down into like, right, I can go broad this way and cover on my most important platforms these 200 tests. And then I can take these kind of 10% of my tests, and these are the ones that are dependent on some native thing like photo upload or push notifications or something. And I can, and I'll test those on more variations based on analytics or based on market trends or something. And people are getting more into that mindset of, if I don't work in a regulatory environment, so people who are working in clinical, financial, I'm really sorry, but people who are working in non-regulated environments are able to make more choices and be able to defend them as to why they don't do all of the things. And it seems that that's been slow, again, a slow burner in mobile that wasn't that's been happening elsewhere for forever, feels like it's been slow to come to mobile.
That's fascinating, Dan. I had flashbacks of one place I worked at, and we had the cupboard with all the mobile phones in, and you scrambled to get them. And then there was always that point where we're like, oh, new device is coming. Do we put in the purchase order for it, or do we wait a bit? It's just like constant back and forth to justify spending a bit of money on some new devices and then going, oh, what? When do we stop supporting that old one over there? Oh. It's a good blast from the past, that one.
Wandering over to CEX at lunchtime with the company credit card to see if you can find, because some important customers reported a bug on some esoteric device.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Panic stations.
Maestro sells a cloud service, but I do, there's something about it where I do miss my cupboard.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It was special when you just had them laid out on your desk and then you walk over to a colleague, be like, oh, when you finish with that, can I nab it? I've got to run a bit of regression testing on that one. Brilliant. And you make a good point, Dan, or many good points, just that, like, maybe if you could share some thoughts on how you encourage people to defend their decisions on, we're going to focus on these, but not these. Like, what sort of advice would you give to someone if they were like trying to put a case forward to say, we can't test all the things on all the things, as you said, but helping them put a case forward to say we can only focus on these. How would you recommend folks go about doing that?
Well, I feel like some of it was in my little bit before about the kind of, what is the risk that you're really offsetting? Like, a company the size of Meta makes React Native and React Native puts some text on the screen. Like, we can trust React Native. Like we don't need to test React Native or Flutter or Xamarin or Compose or whatever your tech happens to be. Like, we don't need to test that. Somebody else is definitely already doing that. What we want to test is our implementation of the bigger things. And our bigger things is our business logic, making sure the right things render at the right times, and our interactions with the native side. And so then you start being able to break it down into those two bits where you go, I want to test in depth here and in breadth here, and being able to say like, right, I've laid out my problem, and then I've laid out my justification, and now I'm laying out my plan. And I feel like that kind of structure works really well, because it's you can always, I think, find someone who would say, ah, yeah, but what if? And you'd be like, hey, I'm a tester, that's my job. You can always find someone who's going to say, what if a bug were to appear in one of the others? But like, I feel like that's the conversation that testers have been having for forever, right? I can do 100 tests and 100 tests and 100 tests, and still there will be bugs in production. Like, I don't feel that there's a strong argument that says, but testing all the things on all the things and changing our release cadence to be quarterly rather than weekly, yeah, it doesn't hold much.
It's a really interesting thing. I love the idea that risk-based testing is only just making it to mobile, but you're probably right. Love it.
And yet mobile's the modern thing. Like, to a lot of people, mobile is the thing that's moving faster. But like I said, that release cadence, when you were doing server-side software, desktop software, releasing quarterly was fine. That was normal. Mm. But now, a mobile app that doesn't get a release every fortnight is somehow considered to be like, well, we clearly don't have a high-performing team then. Like, other than there are some specific cases, mm-hmm. but like, actually, fortnightly releases are really common in mobile.
And I think it's really interesting because I don't think we talk enough about how if we're releasing more often and we're releasing less with each release, then it's appropriate to do less testing and to do more targeted testing because the risk is lower. And you simply don't need to cover as much because the thing that your remaining risk by having made one change is far less than making 10 changes. And as you say, if you're releasing once a month, it could be 100 changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like I've used that mobile use case as a great way of explaining like context-driven testing to mm-hmm. developers and POs and stuff, and saying like, if you assume that the last version we released was good, then our risk is the diff between then and now. And mm-hmm. since the last one was only last Tuesday, like, the things I need to do with my thumbs is relatively little. Mm. I feel like at some point I should put in a plug for some massive regression test suite in Maestro in there or something. But like, actually, like, automated regression tests help with that as well, where you say not only do all the new things work, but also all the old things work too. Like, it is actually easier and less complex to release more often. Mm. Total agree.
So I'm going to ask you a question, Dan, and that is about rollback within a mobile environment. So one thing that I find with web app stuff is the absolute get out of jail free card is if you actually release production and something goes wrong, not always, but often it's relatively straightforward to very quickly roll back for everyone and then figure out what went wrong. What I found with mobile is it's not so easy. So that's where some of the fear and doubt comes in. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest problems, I think, with working with an org where your mobile app, like most mobile apps, is in fact incredibly boring. Your mobile app is a list or a list of lists, and shopping apps are lists, and to-do lists are definitely lists, and your emails are a list. Other than games, all apps are pretty boring because they're just an interface over an API, right? And the hard part comes in that you can't make people update. When you roll the website back, everybody gets the old website. But when you release a new version of your app, you get like, okay, great, within 10 minutes, I've got 5% of people over. And within a day, I'm up to 80%. Great. And after a month, I'm still not at 100%. And that's mm-hmm. because your rollback, mm-hmm. because there is no rollback, there's only roll forwards. You then go, well, I can release another version that rolls back that change, but actually getting to 100%, that could be months away. And so you end up supporting mm-hmm. API side has to collaborate mm-hmm. and support all of the versions of your listy API client for a long time. And so then, yeah, and then, which adds probably another dimension to those regression tests we were talking about, where you're going like, your end-to-end tests on your mobile app aren't just a test of your mobile app, they're also a test of the API that the mobile app is talking to. There are people out there using Maestro, like when we merge to main of our API, run the mobile tests, because the mobile tests are a known good API client. And so, and then also going like, but I want to test the current, the previous. And so I want to know that the API is going to work with multiple old versions of the API client.
That's very familiar.
But actually is quite an evolved question. quality engineering practice. Like that, like that's, you're up to level 10 at that point. But it's one of those things, like I said, with the rolling, with rolling back, since you know that rollback can't be done, then you, yeah, you do need a level of confidence. But also, I think, depending on who your audience is, I think there is slightly more acceptance of imperfect mobile apps than there is of imperfect server software. I also think that the quality bar tends to be slightly lower. I also think the complexity of mobile apps tends to be slightly lower.
Oh, this is fascinating, Dan. Just busy nodding away, going, oh, yeah, of course. So love the insight. And we're getting some positive feedback for those following along in the live chat. So Rosie sharing roll back and roll forwards for the MOT glossary. Yes, we should totally get them added. Gary Hawk shares, this is fantastic insight for those of us that don't get into mobiles. I'd love to see an article on this, Dan. And then Rosie sharing, maybe Dan can share his definitions. We can get those glossary definitions in place.
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah. I'd also like to call out Chanduri. Great to hear from you. The company I work for used analytics to identify the most commonly used devices and operating system versions. Based on those insights, we focused our testing on the latest version and the previous version. Got it. I also, yeah, it makes me think one place I worked at, the early days of the Apple Store, and I think someone in our product team at the time knew someone really well in the, oh, what were they been called? It was like the Apple Store where they would approve items and they would just ping them, and that would like fast track our way to get a release out sooner rather than later. And I just think how not bad that was, but it was just the fact that someone was able to find another channel to try and increase the velocity we could go at when it came to releasing. So it sort of supported the whole roll forward. But we were fortunate in that position. I'm assuming that is not available right now, where you can fast track or buy your way to release stuff sooner. Maybe I'm being naive there, and you can tell me otherwise, Dan.
iOS app review times used to be about a fortnight. And there used to be Twitter accounts you could follow that would give you average queue times right now. It's far less nowadays. Like, unless you're doing a brand new app or a massive overhaul, like, app review times tend to be 1 or 2 days in my experience nowadays. So like, that problem's largely gone away. On the point about analytics, a short story to share there. I once made the mistake of relying solely on analytics and said, like, oh, well, we don't need to test on this browser because this browser, like, 0.something% of our traffic comes from. But of course, we were only getting 0.something% of the traffic, because as soon as anybody hit the homepage, it was entirely broken. And so actually, in terms of page views, it was really low. So now I'm somewhat cautious to make sure that analytics are one of multiple inputs into that kind of spread of how you treat your data and which devices to test on.
What a great cautionary tale. Love that one, Dan. That's cool. Right, time check, please, Simon. And are we going to try and get anyone else on stage?
Yeah, let's do it. And Dan, please stick around and do continue with the conversation as we aim to invite a few more people. Actually, Matilly, you shared some really good insight on that club post. If you are in a position to join us on stage, we'd very much welcome that. And perhaps you could share some more based on what you shared on the club, but no pressure if it's not possible to do that now. And anyone else who's listening, maybe you're new to this world and you're like, ah, wow, I hadn't even considered that. Some of the things that Dan and Ben have already shared, come up on stage and ask more questions, right? And folks can share their answers in the chat. The questions you ask, even if we're not able to explore them in depth now, can spark conversations later. But yeah, please do put yourself forward if you want to join the stage to say hello, introduce yourself, and share what's on your mind when it comes to mobile testing, like what's happening in your world. Even if it's nothing at all, I'd still love to hear from you. So Ben, whilst we're waiting for more folks to join us, I see from Andrew Kelly on the club, a shared their insight. So let me read that out as we wait for some folks to come forward behind the scenes. So Andrew Kelly says, I see mobile testing continuing to drive testers building apps locally as being normal testing practice. Lots of developer tools being leveraged from testers on this front. Interesting. When it comes to UI automation, mobile apps still do not seem to get access to as many advances as web apps do. Agent use, for example, on the flip side of this, mobile apps tend to put ease of use and intuitive use at the forefront of their design. And I often find a 20-minute test session can be much faster and find more things than a lot of the automated UI coverage when it comes to a lot of mobile apps. I guess connecting that to your point earlier on, Dan, about apps tend to be less complex. Oh, and a 16K page size support being mandatory on Play Store, but no devices with that default setting available, including browser stack devices. Oh, that's interesting. A bit of an edge case there.
Wow, that last one is a little bit niche. It's interesting, but I think this overall thing, though, about the developers and testers building apps locally. So for those of you who perhaps haven't done as much mobile app testing, or maybe you've only tested where you've got it in a device in front of you, I can relate to this. Last time I was doing mobile app testing, I first and foremost did an awful lot of the testing on either the Android or the iOS mobile, like emulators and simulators on the actual laptop. So effectively I was using my Apple laptop and the Android Studio, Android emulator, and the iOS emulator from Xcode or simulator, whichever way around it was, to do a lot of the app testing. And then it was only for certain things I would then go out to like a device farm, like we were discussing earlier. I was actually using Source Labs, which hasn't been mentioned yet, but has some similar stuff to Browser Stack. But in this case, it was virtual mobile devices with apps installed on it. And yeah, the majority was definitely in those simulators and emulators on the laptop, which is really interesting because it's incredibly useful and it lets you get unprecedented access, but it also, you don't have access to a lot of the common things like other apps you'd normally have that you maybe want to share with or switch between, and you don't get that physical feel of having a device in your hand. So there are compromises as well as advantages.
Indeed. That's great. Great insight there, Ben. Yeah, since my mind's spinning on that kind of how you would test for gestures and all of that stuff. And we won't go there because I see that Matilly has joined us. Wonderful. Let's get you up on stage. Feel free to jump straight on in. How are things?
Hello, everyone. Hi, Simon. Hi, Dan, Ben. Yeah, I have worked on mobile web and apps for quite a few years. And based on my experiences, I can tell some of the challenges which I used to face. At the start, like a few years back, I had like complete my desk with devices, with a wardrobe, with tracking on, okay, what devices we have got, which we have already discussed, that if there is a latest version, then we had to get that physical device ordered. But now most of the times it's like not buying the devices, but we get licenses, like we used a browser stack for both app testing and for web. For web, we had like quite few licenses, but for app, we had a limited license, so we used to share it. The challenge with the app testing was when we were remote, one of the developers was in Russia, one of the QA was in India, and I was here with product and other team members. So any issues which we faced in one location, if we are trying to recreate, there was a challenge with the developers to recreate themselves. And then after the fixing, getting it done and released with older version of API, but the web was having a new version of API. So there are different challenges with app testing and mobile. So I think based on my experience, I felt, I don't know how others feel, but I felt like their needs, things have improved, but there is still, I would favor API testing, going to the back, like shifting left and testing APIs at very high level and then coming finally to the UI. And UI side can be contributed by everyone, like the business, the product owners. When there is a final version, then everyone in the team can just have a quick run through and give the feedback before it's signed off. Yeah, I'm that's my take. And I, yeah, there are a few things I've never done automation on app, but yeah, I would be interested to learn on that side. I hope it makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, very much so. Thanks so much for sharing. Brilliant insight. Oh, that issue with getting your colleagues to recreate issues when discovered. Oh, I can imagine that is a challenge indeed with certain setups. But thank you so much for sharing. Really appreciate that. Dan and Ben, any thoughts at this point or any reflections on what Matilly has shared?
Sure. Yeah, no, thank you so much for sharing there, Matilly. I think I can really relate to the very remote nature of having distributed teams and struggling with reproductions on mobile. That, yeah, just, you're so right. It's one of the reasons we tended to use like mobile device farms, like stuff from Source Labs. But even then, it wasn't a guarantee you'd be able to easily reproduce the issue. And sometimes, even if you could, it was sometimes then hard to reproduce it in other environments to be able to actually debug it more. So it wasn't a golden bullet. It was useful, but not a golden bullet. So yeah, that's so relatable.
It hadn't occurred to me that the shift towards more remote working might have been the trigger for the shift from fewer cupboards and more cloud devices.
Oh, yeah, of course. It seems so clear now, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking earlier, Simon, when you were talking about going to the cupboard, and I was thinking, I can't relate because if I ordered a device, I'd need it posted to me.
Really?
There is no cupboard.
There's a new market for people whizzing around delivering devices to colleagues. It's like, not that I'm advertising any of these products or services, because there are others available, like Uber Eats or a Just Eat app for physical mobile devices.
Just burner phones. I don't think that's the right I don't think that's the right market for it, Simon.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you tell me, Ben.
I'm saying no more.
Wonderful. But yeah, if that service doesn't exist, maybe there's a market for that.
I think the main couriers have already got delivering mobile devices down. They've already got there. As long as things are boxed well and they know there's a battery in there, I think that's already doing pretty well.
Absolutely.
But one thing is, even though we get the devices, because one of the scenarios which we faced was we were doing some of the testing on the latest version of iOS, and I was able to recreate the scenario, but the same scenario was not being reproduced by someone sitting remote. So it becomes, even though same version, same device, but location settings and other app settings, there are quite a background settings to be done before we could actually reproduce any specific scenarios. So as far as you get the device, it's not enough. You need some other features and functionalities settings behind it. Like we were trying one of the payment scenarios for a specific iOS version, and it took quite some time for us to actually recreate in different locations.
Oh, that's so cool. I think what you've done there, Matilly, is really express why it works on my machine just absolutely explodes when you're talking about mobile devices, or it doesn't work on my mobile. That I don't have a clear answer, but I can sympathize, because it's like, yes, you're right. Yes, there's a ton of complexity there.
Maestro takes an opinionated approach on testing, right? So you don't test an app, you test a device, you drive a device. So you can get into all the settings and set up this before going and doing that. And you can also test your mobile websites and things like that. And that all works fine. And it all works fine in the cloud as well. Until you hit things like, I want to test contactless payments. I want to test Bluetooth connections. None of the cloud providers can solve this problem for you. All of a sudden, you have to fall back to, I need a physical device here in the room with me, because this, like if I want to test that it pairs, I don't know, the testers at Fitbit and Garmin must have this problem. So if you need to test pairing with your device in your app, you can't do that on a cloud device.
Oh, this is all fascinating. I'm loving it. I'm afraid, though, I have to say we are out of time. Ah, happens every time. We're deep into the chat. There's much more, many more directions we could go. But this is not the last of the conversation around mobile. We should keep it going and find ways to do so. So, yeah, if you're listening today and you're like, oh, I've got some opinions on this, then go for it. You could post a memory on ministryoftesting.com. You could start a club post. You could share some thoughts on the Motiverse Slack and out on other social networks as well. Like, go for it. And also start if to help others joining the dots around mobile, because as we discovered in this conversation, there's all sorts of complexity and subtleties that go on in this world and in this space. So let's help each other out, right? Let's keep on sharing information, starting conversations, pointing people in the direction of helpful resources, articles, videos, talks, podcasts, get people chatting some more. So yeah, I want to say thank you, Dan and Matilly, for joining us up on stage. Very much enjoyed all the audience chat. So thank you to those that have participated live today. And thanks for our podcast listeners as well. We're very grateful for you listening today. And always a pleasure to co-host with you, Ben. Loving it. And yeah, Ben, any final thoughts before we sign off for today?
Yeah, thank you very much. This has been a very cool conversation. So my final thought is for those of you who want to continue learning about mobile testing, there is the Community's Guide to Mobile Testing collection on the Ministry of Testing, which has absolutely loads, like currently 56 items where you can go and learn loads more about mobile testing.
That's a great shout there, Ben. Thank you for that. I was just quickly trying to grab the link to that, but I'm not quite able to get there as fast as I can. But a good excuse for people to search for that one in the search bar on ministryoftesting.com. And also a good excuse to head to the homepage, see what's happening. Do sign up to the newsletter, ministryoftesting.com/newsletter. It's a great way to stay connected each week. And for those that really want to go back and come back often, please do so daily if you can, and get stuck in. Awesome. Okay, folks, we're going to sign off now. Please do enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll speak to you all soon. Bye for now.